You work very hard at detaching yourself from all of the details and all of the information. In other words, you hire a very competent person who incarnated here to do those kinds of things, a lawyer, whatever. And you tell them that I don't want to hear any information that will weaken me, that will make me unhappy, that will bring me anger, that will bring me fear or whatever. You just keep all of that from me. Your job is to deal with this and to go after what it is that you believe that, you know, to fulfill whatever it is, the wishes you have. But you detach yourself from all of that. You go through your days being in a state of peace. And you tell him when he calls you, you only give me information that will strengthen me. I don't want anything that will weaken me. And you can do that. It's really quite simple. Yeah, there will always be some kinds of conflicts that will arise that you won't have agreement with someone else. But that's no cause for being depressed, miserable, unhappy, fearful, anxious, stressful. You just don't have to go there in your life. And I have lots of practice at that in my life. And I get better at it as I remind myself that I don't have to be attached to any of that. And when I have had some disputes that involved legal issues, I have told my attorney just exactly what I'm telling you now. I do not want you to call me with details that are going to be upsetting, whatever it is, even if it's going to cost me money. Write the check and keep me out of it. You go through your life and you don't have to have all of that. Any other thoughts or ideas? Yes.
Based on what you were saying yesterday, does that mean you try to love the person you're suing at the same time?
That's absolutely crucial. Truly it is. It's surrounding them with love. And most of the time, when you're able to do that, when you're able to surround them with love, you can make it go away. You'd be surprised how often. Well, you remember the story of Ruth Carrico that I read, you know, while she was, I mean, what could be more hateful than that? And she was practicing loving someone that was trying to kill her. And it's the lesson of our greatest spiritual teachers. If we want to call ourselves people who are devotees of the greatest spiritual teachers who ever walked among us, we have to practice what it is that their lives were and what they were teaching us. Okay, this ninth principle I call treasure your divinity. I'd like to open this with an observation from an essay written in 1841 by Ralph Waldo Emerson. The essay was called Self-Reliance. Probably the most important, certainly the most recognized essay that Emerson wrote. He said, a man should learn to detect and watch that gleam of light which flashes across his mind from within, more than the luster of the firmament of bards and sages. Yet he dismisses without notice his thought because it is his. In every work of genius, we recognize our own rejected thoughts. They come back to us with a certain alienated majesty. What he is saying here is that we shouldn't be paying so much attention to the bards and sages and all that has been written, but indeed that we should look within at our own thought and not reject it just because it's our own. Valerie Hunt spoke about this in The Infinite Mind. And she said the thing that is the most troubling for most people is not only that they don't treasure their own divinity, but they're terrified of it. Because they have been raised to believe that that which is divine is separate from who we are. That God or spirit or whatever it is that we want to call this force is something that is outside of us. It is often something that we pray to. And we ask in our prayers for this being, usually it's a male, usually it's a white male, a white dead male, that is circulating around in heaven someplace. And it's like this huge slot machine in the sky. And we ask of this white dead male in the sky to provide for us the things that we are asking for, and we pull a lever, and hopefully we'll get more than one or two cherries.